July 16, 2023, it's the Walk for Pedro Show. for Pedro show. Happy Sunday. Brand new. Well, not brand new. This was recorded in 1961, but they just found the tapes. This is John Coltrane. It's not the total classic quartet because no Jimmy Garrison yet on the bass, but he's supplemented by his good buddy Eric Dolphy. So, of course, you know a lot of this stuff's on the Live Village Vanguard, but this is the Village Gate. So it's a summer 61 August, and this was Impressions. And then we had Nick Doss with Baby Beat. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, we got on the line here, all the way from La Quinada. Nick Doss, welcome aboard, right, brother.
What's up, Mike?
Wow,
this is an honor.
And I think you got a co-conspirator there with you, a dog or something? I think I heard
I thought I heard
a puppy whimper.
I'm a little, I'm just like, no, that's, I don't know what's going on there. Maybe it's just the howl of the AC.
yeah, it's kind of sweaty, huh? Especially where you are. I'm you know, by the, in the harbor, by the ocean, so maybe.
You've got that nice coastal insulation.
Yeah. Sam, so we got to give Tim from the Unsung Hunger for the Connect credit. And I want to learn about you because this music intrigues me, man. I love the way, like, you go for anything you want to express yourself. I have cats come on the show, and right away they start naming off other bands and stupid stuff like that. When, to me, music is music, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but let's go way back to, like, I've had cats tell me that they remember stuff inside their ma still. But what is your earliest musical memory?
My earliest musical memory. I mean, I feel like the one that sticks out the most, like the one that feels really integral to when I first kind of like came online in my brain is like two things. And it's like they both took place in my living room, in my house, my family house in Texas. And that was my parents blasting Carlos Santana Smooth with Rob Thomas like all the time. And I remember I really got into Santana through that.
That's the Matchbox guy, right?
Exposure, probably.
That singer man is.
Sorry, wait, what did you say?
That singer man was the Matchbox 20 guy, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yes, the Matchbox, which actually they have some good songs, but yeah, probably, yeah, Santana in late 90s, and then just the cover of, like the cover of the CD of Meatloaf Spat Out of Hell.
Oh, yeah.
It was like the first thing I remember. I think I can remember.
Also, you know, I don't know if you saw Rocky Horror Picture Show, but he was Eddie. They end up chowing him. I don't know how well you know this. Yeah.
Of course. Right. And there was an old theater in Dallas that would play Rocky Horror all the time. So
that was a big part of the early scene, you know, in the 70s punk here in Hollywood. A lot of those people I saw, my sister took me to Tiffany. They'd play that every weekend, and these motherfuckers would, like, memorize the thing and throw toast and all that shit. Kind of take over the show.
I know.
Yeah. So same kind of mentality.
Well, there was actually, like, a little, like, small, like, theater troupe. There was a small theater troupe in Dallas that would, like, go and perform there, like, along with the movie. It was kind of wild.
Oh, wow. Okay. But I mean,
because
when I think back to the movement, especially as far as I was concerned, it's very much anti-arena rock and sitting a spectator from thousands of miles away and people very small. Yeah. So in this pad you grew up in, was there? This pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
No. My parents weren't really musical. And I was like the firstborn in my family. So it wasn't like around so much until I had like this inkling towards it because I got into music like in lower school.
Yeah. Let me ask you about
draw to the radio.
Yeah. Let me ask you about school. Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Yeah, I think we like had to take music stuff. So like from very beginning, I was we like had to play the recorder.
Oh yeah,
that
okay.
was like part of our necessary education. So I yeah, like I sang and played recorder like growing up in elementary school, and then eventually you get to middle school and we play, and you had to choose between choir or band, and I was playing trumpet and percussion. I don't know if we even had a marching band, but just like a regular ass band.
Well, let me ask you this. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
I don't know. Let me think. Okay, so the first one I ever asked for was probably, do you recall that band NoFX?
Oh yeah,
they were kind of like a
Eric Melvin's a friend of mine.
Okay, yeah. It was a NoFX record, and like that was the first one I remember like wanting. But I got in like a lot of trouble for playing that album.
Well, I asked that question. I asked that question because when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money. So I'm interested in what would you spend money on if you got some to get music.
So, yeah, so I remember getting a NoFX record in, like, 2004, and I don't think I had bought any music up until that point, and this was, like, around the time when I, like, was getting kind of, like, yeah, just having a sense of, like, what bands were and outside of, like, the radio and stuff, and then I was playing this album at my friend's house, like, showing it to him. At my friend Topher's house in Texas, and his parents like walked by the room and were like, "Wait," because it was like a Anti Bush album, and so they like kind of they were very moderate, but they were just like, "What the heck's going on here?" And so while that happened, like another friend and I were kind of like waiting around while my friend Chris got kind of like a talking to, and just like on his shelf he had like Combat Rock, the Clash record, and just like in his CD player. So we started playing that. We're like, oh, this is pretty good. And then so for Christmas that year, with the Christmas money I had, I think I bought the Clash singles, like compilation from the night, like 91 or whatever.
It was like the green record,
that was
right?
The record. Yeah.
It's the green record. I remember getting the green record, the first Clash record. It was the England one, though. It hadn't come out over here, so different tunes. What was the first gig you saw, Dave?
Oh, I mean, this is why my musical hit, like, why my musical tastes are all over the place. Cause I think like, I just, as a kid, I liked a lot of different stuff and was like kind of just attracted to a lot of flashy stuff. So I'm pretty sure the first thing I remember is like NSYNC No Strings Attached tour.
Okay. I like flashy stuff too. First gig I saw, me and D Boone saw T-Rex.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
1973, yeah, we were 14 years old, and but he was so tiny, that's what was fucked about Arena Rock, too tiny. So, and that NSYNC tour was probably a Norma Dome, too. Yeah, you know, there's something about seeing a band at a club, you know, there's just something about when people are up close and you can tell what they're doing. You gave me this music here.
It's true.
Beats Say My.
Yeah,
it's a trippy title. Let's listen. We'll be right back.
truly believe you can see what they're doing in that boat from your comfortable chair on the shore. Does your perspective matter when you've been offered and refused to ignore? You think it does, I think it don't, but it ain't never been your style being in the boat.
You have distance looking for oneself. You have distance.
Something that is going to vanish.
Thank you.
demonstration, de minimis and limitless orchestration. We are fragrant, we are lame, we are names and faceless. I plead one main line, just
Watt for Pedro show. Start off that chunk. Nick Das doing version two of Beat Say Bye. It's a trippy thing. Model Home. You can enlighten us for later. Model Home and Wolf Eyes doing a collab. Time designer version. This is some Disciples stuff here. Chuck Johnson with the Sisters. Brand new from Barker. Birmingham Screwdriver. Brett H. Hart. Oh, this is a cat. And he was a teacher. He just retired, but he had me play bass on his song, Being in the Boat. Yeah, I hope it wasn't bunk, but I asked him to turn the bass up. Well, he asked me what I thought. And usually I don't do that because most songs ain't reggae songs. But it's weird when you're the fucking bass dude, too, having to say that. Svetlana Maras after that with 2019 to 2020, number two. The Extract out of Canada with Over Here, African Head Charge. With Acro Electronica, finally, Nick Das, My Song. Now, Nick, not after school, like graduating, but after school in the afternoon, did you get into the basement band, garage band, bedroom band stuff?
Yeah, like in middle school. Our school would have, like, talent shows and stuff. And we played, it took a while to figure out how to play original music, but we were playing a lot of covers back in middle school.
Are you on the trumpet still? Are you still on the trumpet?
No, I did trumpet for about 2 years and then percussion for 2 years in school, but outside of school, I had started taking guitar lessons, like classical guitar lessons.
Nylon string acoustic.
Yeah, like nylon stuff. And then at the same time, just started like teaching myself the electric guitar. And my friends and I would play a lot of Wolf Mother.
Oh, I got to play with those cats in Australia. But like me and D Boone, when we were first starting, I met that cat, the main man, a nice young man. Me and D Boone, when we were first learning, what you did in the 70s was you try to copy songs off records. Is that kind of what you guys were doing?
Yeah, that's basically what we were doing. There was this kind of like early stage where we were just playing covers, like radio rock stuff. The Chili Peppers, Wolf Mother, like Blue Oyster Cult, that kind of thing.
Ah, we saw them a lot.
And then, we started listening to more, the stuff that was maybe a little more difficult to find and got, into, post-rock and, Sugar Ross and, Explosions in the Sky. So we were trying to, do atmospheric rock as, a two-piece, just playing around with, reverbs and delays and things and our guitars and our computers.
Now, is this just a practice jam band, or do you guys end up doing gigs?
We were kind of shitheads. So we would play a lot in our parents' houses, and then we would play these kind of funny talent shows where we'd pull up and people would be like, what? Just kind of have no idea what we were doing. And then it wasn't really until college that we started playing, gigs in and around New York with other bands and things.
And can I ask you about
high school?
Can I ask you about recording? Yeah. Did you get into recording yourself early?
Yeah, that's kind of where it all kind of starts and kind of where it ends. I'm a really unseasoned player live, and I have most of my musical life has existed kind of on the computer. It was just a matter of having the ability for a family to have a Mac computer. And started recording a lot in high school, and in college. And, I'd kind of gotten into it because, like, in eighth grade, I went to this music camp at the University of North Texas, and
Denton, a music, and, yeah, we, like, music school.
I
played there. I remember asking for set list paper. They gave me, you know, staff, you know, for writing scores and shit.
Yeah.
Can you remember I know you said you're not mainly into live gigs and that, but do you remember your first live gig?
Well, I mean, it's kind of crazy because it's like, yeah, I played in some bands in college. And so the first gig was, we just played like the basement of a dorm. I was in this band called Roofers Union. And, yeah, it was just like a college, like, dorm room show. Yeah.
But, you know, University of North Texas, I mean, that is a music school, right?
Well, that's a music school, but I went to NYU for my undergrad, and I was just attending, like, a camp, because I was pretty close to it when growing up.
Sure. Okay. Let me think. So, you're doing a lot of composing and recording. Man alone?
Yeah.
But you did say you had a collaborator. You said we, like it was a two-piece band? Roofers Union?
Well, yeah, it was just kind of Roofers Union was a different thing. Those were just guys I met in school. But we, meaning like my friend Will and I, who's in this band Kraus, and we've known each other since, 2005, and he came to my school, and we were just like, yeah, the only two dudes who were kind of like really into music. And it's kind of crazy because we've kind of followed each other a little bit for our whole lives. Like we haven't really ever like made that much music together, but we've always kind of like supported each other, and like we're always kind of like sounding boards for each other.
Yeah.
But we ended up going to high school and college together, and then eventually we both moved to LA a couple years ago.
Wow, what a trip. So,
so it's pretty sick.
That's the way life is, though, right? It throws you things, big sea change. And sometimes, kind of co-conspirator for the rest of your fucking dealio. Interesting.
Yeah, you're just kind of in it with this one person that just happened to have appeared in your life, you know, 15 years ago, and you kind of got to ride it, yeah.
Because all that other New York City, that's just a chapter in your past now, right?
Yeah. I feel buzzed there and like going there, but yeah, it's kind of, it's definitely in the rear view.
In the rear view. That's a good way of putting it. And what about these recordings? When did you, like, bring them to people? When was your first release?
It's weird. I honestly really haven't even released music. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, I truly played, like, my first gig this year, like, of my own music. Like, I really got it together, and then also, I'm, like, kind of actually putting out music for the first time in, like, a real way.
And you got some gigs coming up.
I was just kind of, like, uploading stuff. What's that?
I saw that you got some gigs coming up in August.
Yeah, I got some gigs coming up. And so, yeah, prior to this year, ever since high school.
Let me tell you this, Nick.
Yeah.
Some people think either you're a child prodigy or don't do music. Not, you know, Vincent painted only his last 10 years of his life. Some people aren't child prodigies. They get into music later. I think that's perfectly fine.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's kind of it's weird because it's like it's always just been there. It's been so ingrained into my life. But it's always been this thing that, like, yeah, it felt a lot more freeform. Like, I've never had this kind of, this professionalism around it. So it's always just kind of, like, been this thing that I do. And it was kind of crazy, like, going to all this, like, music and stuff that I'd made to send to you last night, because there's just, yeah, it just went, it feels really, really random, like, but also while I'm making it, but then now, like, with a little bit of hindsight, it's like, oh, okay, like, there's, like, there's clearly, like, ideas and stuff that are just, like, subconsciously coming out, and it took a really long time to get, like, ones that are really, you know, interesting, I guess, is the thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, for me, it was like riding around in, a car, and, you know, the bayou goes by, the beach goes by, the mountains go by, the forest, you know, there's just a lot of different kind of terrains, but it's still you and your fucking coche, you know? So that's the way I saw it. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, July 16, 2023, edition Wap Peter Show. Special guest, Nick Doss. Hold tight for hour two. July 16, 2023, second hour of the Wap from Pedro Show.
Ever done to me,
You say you got the tiger by the tail, but I don't see things that way. Walking around with your head in the clouds makes no sense at all. So you're so sharp, but your hand in the salt makes no sense at all. Is it important to shine it so loud? Makes no sense at all. It makes no difference at all. Here there's a party down at Lake Home. It's so much easier if I had you. Yeah, we could go out, we couldn't go for a ride. Instead, I have to leave you here to die. Die, die.
Thank you. put my feet in the shade, turn my body from where it came. I have no worries when I'm gone, but for now, I shall carry on. Lord, I'm tired. Yes, I'm tired. Lord, I'm tired. Yes, I'm tired. I live this life above the ground. Yes, sir.
for Pedro show. Start off the second hour.
Is anybody there?
Yeah, anybody there. She ended up, God, what was his name? His name was Rick Elric, and he ended up driving a hearse. And then brain cancer got him. But he was great. Yeah, they were called the F word. It was so trippy. The first album, they covered the Germs. I mean, this was like in the late 70s, you know. You cover another band from the scene. That was trippy. Anyway, start off second hour with You There from Nick Doss. Tim Holehouse out of England doing Bob Mould's Make No Sense At All. MC Yala with Yala Baiba. I think she's from Uganda. A trippy scene out there, the way they're making their beats and their raps. Muskeg Mudsuck out of Anchorage, Alaska with, well, where's the other Anchorage? What? Fuck. Climbing to Eternity. Sarah Oswald and Felder Melder. This is via Tim. Everything Vibrating Is an Illusion. Sonic Prophets out of North Carolina. I'm Tired. Brother Benji. And then Nick Doss with Mix Number 5 of On the Heels Of. So, yeah. Why don't you talk about some of these tunes that I've played so far on the show, like You There or On the Heels Of, or what about the title, Beat Say My?
Well, okay. Yeah, the Beat Say My, it's just Beat Say My because it's a lot less tricky than it sounds. It's just a beat, and Say My is because of the sample that I was using. I won't say too much more than that, but that's where that comes from. And yeah, maybe I should have put these like in order or something to have some sort of like flow or,
you know what, I think I did,
but like,
yeah, because I didn't have any idea of the timeline. So I think the way I put it,
yeah,
I sequenced them was in shortest to longest.
Okay, interesting. Cool.
That's the way I usually do it if I have no idea, because I haven't been with the band or the artist, you know, so I don't really know the flow. So I end up usually, yeah, putting the first songs last and the more recent songs first, like an idiot. Sorry.
No, that's all good. That's all good. Yeah, so anything like that beat, let's see here. It's pretty good. Like, that's not a bad range, because it's like these things I made some of these things I made right before college, some of them I made in college, and then some of them I made kind of right after. And like the baby beat is just that was like the first time I was like learning to sample, and I was just like basically copying this guy like Star Slinger, who is this kind of like internet electronic artist. He was just popping for a year, and I got very obsessed with his music, from this dude from England. He's still out there. And then, yeah, On the Heels Of and Beat Say My were kind of around the same time, and like, were kind of like, these were kind of like the things I was like forming my identity around, like at the start of, like 2017-ish, 2018
yeah.
time, and they're like kind of the different like poles of like what I was kind of into, and so like On the Heels It was like the, because I made so many things before that point that just like the vocals were really just trash, and so this was the first time I was like really just singing out, and then kind of also getting into this idea of using either like non sequitur language or kind of like made up English for my lyrics, like, which people kind of use as like placeholders or something. But I was like, I don't know. I started to feel like, wanting to like remove real words from my music, because before that I was like trying to be hyper literate, and some of the stuff I was making, and all of a sudden I was just like, I don't know, I wanted to be more visceral.
Well, I'm wondering how literate,
and
yeah. I'm wondering how literate this next tune, Frog Logic, is. Let's listen.
You'll know right away that there's somebody looking over you. Oh, you're gonna find out, especially you. And I promise you something.
Slippers of the Jesus-loving girl. In the closet hangs the clown costume. Never returned. I wore it last year's harvest festival, where Rose and I met. Charcoal gray form in an endless variety of shapes. Twigs, halves of leaves, ride the ripples past the floating aluminum dock. Building my home of stone, of straw, of mud, of debris. Rose texted her stepmother, whose aggressive denture breath almost came through the phone, to ask for an extra week on her car payment. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Whatever falls into the bayou is absorbed. A late entry in the seventh race, a 3-year-old ashen gray gelding, shipped in from South Texas. Local teens in barely legible Nirvana t-shirts, released from high school, walk alongside the county farm to market road, next to the drainage ditch, killing time until sundown. Balancing, trying not to fall in. Fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead. Ours was an earthly parent, Rose explained. We were, after all, a common law couple, and she was betrothed to the Lord. Reading the tea leaves, loosening my grasp, one with the flow. Whatever falls into the bayou is absorbed and washed away.
Thank you. time, but...
For Pedro, so that chunk of music started with Nick Doss doing Frog Logic. Then we had St. Abdullah, yep. Jason Nasri, Sir Alfred the Voyeur. That's an image. Noisuka, brand new, Romantic 2. Rambutan with Bill Shute doing Scrapple. That's an East Coast thing, huh?
Scrapple.
Yeah, some kind of thing you eat with breakfast or something. A lot of sugar. Maybe apples. Yeah. Healers out of... it's right near the border with Indiana, but kind of a burb of Chicago. The Fog. Jamie, new batch of tunes. Midwestern Medicine with Buried Badge. Live excerpt from Mike Baguette and Ava Mendoza Duo. This is from Hadley Public Library, October 7, 2022. Going to play some gigs with Ava Mendoza. She's an incredible guitar lady. I'm going to help Mike Baguette on this tour September, November. MSV, people. Mainstream stop valve. Finally, Nick Doss with Drawn with Eyes Closed. Both these tunes, different times than the other tunes, huh?
Different times, yeah. Well, Frog Logic is not too dissimilar from some of those other ones. That was kind of a... That was a while ago. I had, like, gone after, that was in 2016-ish. After I, like, left school, I wanted to make, like, wanted to make a record and was just looking for any studio that would let me work there and then also let me record it in the evening times. And I found this studio out in Marfa, Texas, and so I lived there for a couple of months, and and feel like I got into a very kind of isolated and kind of singular zone out there, and which is probably why it sounds so different. I just like wanted to make this, like kind of scuzzy desert rock kind of record.
You know, Sly Stone.
So that's for that one.
Sly Stone once said.
Yeah.
It's not where you're from, it's where you're at. What do you think of that statement?
I totally agree. I mean, there's, I think, a lot of things about that because environment, like, it is probably the most influential thing for me. And I think a lot of people think about, like, authenticity or sincerity and stuff of, like, an artist or, like, who you are and, like, what you're making and,
you know what? When people bring that up with me, I think of John Fogerty being up, born on this very far northwest bayou. I think art, in a way, is to transcend reality. It's for pretending. Maybe you're in a fucked up thing and you're just trying to dream some other dream. So, I don't know about being, you know, people say, hey, what? Keep it real. And like, really? I can imagine the first cave painting, right? And the buddy guy says to his buddy, what do you see? What does the guy say? Chromium sulfate? No, man, that's a buffalo. Yeah. Anyway, hit me to drawing with eyes closed.
Yeah, that one, I just wanted to make something kind of like approachably experimental and kind of have some sort of like organic, shroomy, like arrangement or like development and the way that the song kind of unfolds. And it kind of made that like in as like a collaborative piece with my sister, who's like a dancer. She was in school and wanted to make something that felt like really just kind of this mix of like peaceful and then insane as it goes on.
So in a way, you
kind of almost
you choreographed her dance with this piece.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So she choreographed it after the fact of like after I made it. And it kind of just grew out from this place of wanting to, this idea of like having a piece of music that felt like cyclical, in the way that it developed.
Yeah, and, you know, there was this thing, I think his name was Andy Baton, this poem object, automatic writing, you know, you try to get stuff from the subconscious rather than all this rational kind of, you know, oh, we've been taught this means this. Like, the big joke one, right, this poem object he did, this is not a pipe, and he's got a drawing of a fucking pipe. Yeah, get it? We're at the second hour, July 16th, 2020, they're 100 years ago, right, 90 years ago. July 16th, 2023, Dish Wap Pedro's special guest, Nick Doss, hold tight for our feet! July 16th, 2023, is the third hour of Wap for Pedro's show.
Thank you.
Pedro show third hour with Nick Doss doing to take. Expand your vocab, people. We just grew one more word. Emily Dickinson in Crane. There's Crane using her poems. I guess she was known more as a gardener than a poet in her lifetime. All the stuff we know now is after her postmortem. Yeah. So set its sun in thee. Live stream of 3 days, Domine Noise University, March 13. Oh, it's Ides of March, killed Caesar. 2023, part 3 of 3. Makoto Kawabata, great guitar man. Osaka. Atavin, after that, brand new. Drought Shears. Oh, we need some drought shears. That's it. Just shears. The idea is shorn. Instead of getting a haircut, right, you get it shorn. Like sheep, you know. Carnage Asada, brand new. Listen to the Whispers. Jeb Bishop, Pandelis, Kariorgis doing Summer, which it is. And finally, Nick Doss. Found out too late. So,
When do titles come when you're composing? Do they come at the beginning? Do they come while you're doing it? Do they come at after you finish making it?
They pretty much always come at the very last step of like, okay, I'm exporting the song. What do I call it? Like, it's always at the very, very end. I found out too late is kind of like a cover of this song by this kind of, this 60s doo-wop group, the Sapphires. But yeah, it just kind of, usually the reason why they have such kind of random names is because I feel as though, they almost don't matter. Like, you just kind of encounter them as a piece of music that you click on rather than something you really need to remember.
What about instrumentals versus tunes with lyrics? Because it seems instrumentals, the title becomes way more important, maybe.
Yeah, maybe to impart. I think I used to think about that more of like wanting to impart some sort of image or like have it be the thing that you grab onto. But now I feel like I care about it less. That, you know, yeah, I forget a lot of my own titles. I just feel it. Yeah,
you know, I'm thinking of classical composers. These motherfuckers like just give them numbers and shit.
Just keeping it real. Just saying, song two, song three.
Yeah, I don't know about that. In a way, when you name them, you almost give them a life. You give them a little personality, a little persona. What about Found Out Too
That's
Late?
That's true.
Found Out Too Late. I mean, you know, when I read that's ominous.
It is ominous. Well, it's this really, when I was in college, I would go record hunting and live really close to that store for other music. And they used to make mixtapes of stuff that was kind of hard to find.
Yeah.
Online, just organically. And so I picked up this kind of like girl group mixtape that they had made, and they had this song by the Sapphires called I Found Out Too Late, and got very super obsessed with it right when I heard it, and then was making a song and had this kind of like arranged electronic song that had a very similar kind of, it like allowed for a very similar melody as the original, and really wanted to cover it. So that song's just about basically being cheated on and finding out just too late, realizing you like wasted a bunch of time.
Well, the sensibility of that era of songwriting, you know, why must I be a teenager in love? What a trippy thing to write about. You know, like, how long are you going to be a teenager? Okay. Look, here's a good one. I tried. Let's listen. Show last music for this edition. Start off with Chuck Nick Doss doing I Tried, which I wish everybody would do when they hit the record button, right? No fucking sleepwalking, people. Life's too short. little philosophy I injected there, sorry. The sanity of the universe is measured by broken toys. No. Is that a title? No, this is instrumental, right? This is Vinny Golia's new proj. I think he's got four saxes. One of them, Patrick Shiroishi. Sikora, Grozeski, Redman, and Zappa. Then Erica Dawn Lyle. She's playing guitar with Bikini Kill these days. Earth's Creation / Symbiogenesis. And finally, Nick Doss with Man on the Screen. We're talking off air, people, about this tune. This tune is like really different in a way. But Nick here can explain why.
I think it was like the first time I was like really recording myself and got like a little tape recorder and it was the first time I like wanted to record a full project and stuff in college. And so made this like EP that I thought was like perfect for like Drag City or something. And was trying to like write these songs about kind of these like weird people, these kind of like more outsider figures I had met that summer, like working at a Ford dealership in Maryland.
Whoa. Hi. You think you got any life skills from that work?
I don't. I mean, I just did a lot of manual labor. Unfortunately, I wasn't really getting into the car, getting into the engines. I got good at rolling tires.
I think when people think of used cars, they think of the guys that are trying to get people to buy cars they don't want.
True.
So luckily that wasn't your job.
Well, it was a new dealership.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Luckily that wasn't your job. Because, man, me just thinking about that, you need balls like church bells. Fuck. But I mean, some people have no problem with it. What's next for you musically? Well, I know you got these gigs coming up, right?
I got these gigs. Yeah, I'm playing a show here in a couple weeks in LA, and then a couple shows in New York at the end of August.
Right.
And then, yeah, just putting out a record in the next week and a half. Basically.
Right, right. And you
I don't know when this comes out, but
a lot of cats, when they get a record done, it's like, whoa, finally. But then they start thinking of the next one. Are you like that?
Yeah. Because I've had a lot of these things, you know, three-fourths the way done for a while. And it was like last year that I really buttoned them up. And then this year has been a lot more about thinking about how it looks and how the sound looks and stuff, and like how to present it and think about it visually, and then like the playing aspect. But yeah, I'm hoping to do this like residency in Italy in a couple of months and go and work on some new recordings there.
And your performances, is it going to be man alone mode, or do you have a combo? You have an ensemble?
I got some guys coming in. So some friends from New York playing, and then my buddy Will here in LA, and a couple of shows in New York will be solo, and then a couple of them will be band, full band, and the LA show will be a full band.
Ah, so okay, so you mix it up. That keeps the stuff interesting. Yeah. What about in Italy with the residency?
That'll be solo. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, it'd be just. I don't think I can get anybody over there, but when I record, it's mostly solo, and then I'm working, yeah, like, on the horizon. I'm, like, working on this score for a documentary right now, and then in the fall, got two, like, collaborative projects I'm kind of working on, like, one with my friend here in L.A., just, like, a kind of an indie rock thing, and then one with my friend in Houston, who's in this band called Bedlocked, and just like, yeah, working on some songs with some people.
Well, can I put the invite out? When you get this stuff done, will you come back on the show? We can play it and talk about it.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
And what town in Italy? I play with two Italian guys, so I'm curious.
I think it's called Spezzato.
Spezzato. Okay. Well, yeah. Good luck with all these endeavors, and I can't wait to have you back on the show. And like I said, sometimes things come later. So what? Let that freak flag fly, man.
Totally, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. Big love. People, it's been July 16, 2023 edition WAP Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.